My heart overflows with the felt presence of the Lord, with the wonderful message we've just been blessed to hear. I love your pastor, love Brother Philip very, very much. So thankful for their gift. I'm thankful for where they stand. I'm so thankful for the love that me and my precious family have felt here. The sweet love and hospitality of Brother Chris and Sister Lydia's, and the sweet love and hospitality of you all. It's a love that's made in heaven. I hope we never forget where it came from. And I hope we never forget to be thankful for it. Last night we were talked a little bit about Psalms 110, which is a psalm that I love to try to preach on. And me and Brother Philip remember a sermon from many years ago preached by Elder Sonny Piles. And I'm not going to try to re-preach his sermon. I don't have a good enough memory to re-preach his sermon. But I do want to take a text and use the interpretation that he used. Psalms chapter 110, we don't have to guess who this psalm is about. The Lord Jesus at the end of Matthew chapter 22 would directly say that this psalm is talking about Christ. And there's a lot of wonderful things throughout the whole chapter of Psalms 110. Brother Sonny's mind went to the last verse of this chapter because of a question his wife asked. She said, I know that this psalm is about the Lord Jesus Christ, but how is the last verse about the Lord Jesus Christ? After Brother Sonny had passed away, I was blessed to speak a few words at a service they had prior to the funeral. And I was reminded of how important it is for families to talk about the Word of God together. His mind would have never probably even gone to that verse in that fashion had his wife, who was studying the Word of God, had not asked him a question. And that's been a good example to me for all of us to talk about the most precious book there is in this entire universe in our families, and that's the Word of God. The last verse of this chapter says, he shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Brother Sonny only focused on the first half of that verse. I'm going to try to focus on the whole verse. But notice it said, he. Who's this psalm about? Who did the Lord Jesus say it was about? The Christ. It was about him. So the he is him. Notice it said, he shall drink of the brook in the way. It did not say we shall drink of the brook in the way. So whatever it's talking about something that Jesus did alone. Now there's only one place in the New Testament where the word brook is mentioned. And it's found in John chapter 18. The Lord Jesus is fixing to go to the cross of Calvary. And he's going with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane. And in John chapter 18 and verse 1, it said, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook. That's the only time in the New Testament that word brook is mentioned. Over the brook Cedron. The word Cedron is the New Testament way of saying the Old Testament word Kidron. And it's talked about a good bit in the New Testament, and we'll try to only go to a few places. He went over the brook Cedron, where there was a garden, in the which he entered and his disciples. So we see a brook that the Lord Jesus crossed over. It said in Psalms 110, he shall drink of the brook in the way. Where there's something later in this chapter that has the connotation of drinking. It's this. We drink out of cups. And there's a cup mentioned later in John chapter 18. Verse 11, it said, then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. Brother Philip briefly mentioned the verse before. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and he smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. And the servant's name was Malchus. And I agree with Brother Philip. I don't think he was aiming for the ear. I think he was aiming for the head. He hit the ear. Peter was ready to fight. And the Lord Jesus said, put up thy sword into thy sheath. And then he says this, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? What cup? The cup of the wrath of Almighty God. The book of Isaiah, the cup of the fury of the Lord is mentioned. The cup of his judgment. The cup of his wrath. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. I believe, and it's the way Brother Sonny ran it, that this brook that's being talked about is the cup of the wrath of Almighty God, the cup of the punishment that my sins deserved and that your sins deserve, that the Lord Jesus drank to the bitter dregs upon the cross of Calvary. Now let's look a little bit more about that brook Cedron, that in the Old Testament is called the brook Kidron. That Hebrew word rendered Kidron means mournful. M-O-U-R-N-F-U-L. It means black. It means dark. It means mournful. This is a black brook. It's a dark brook. It's a mournful brook. Let's look in 2 Samuel chapter 15, one of the places where this brook is mentioned. And it fits very well with some of the things that Brother Philip was just preaching to us about. The scene of this is David is fleeing Jerusalem. He's fleeing Jerusalem because his own son, Absalom, has rebelled against him and is trying to take the kingdom from his own father. And look at what it says here. Verse 23 of 2 Samuel chapter 15. And all the country wept. They're mourning. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over, and the king, David, also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. What's David thinking about as he passes over this dark, mournful, bubbling brook of Kidron? He's thinking about the sin of his son Absalom, who's rebelled against his father. But he's not only thinking about his son's sin, but as Brother Philip mentions, he's thinking about his own sin. The Lord, because of David's sin, had said, "The sword shall never depart from my house." And David realizes that the reason his own son has rebelled against him goes back to David's own sin. So as he crosses over this brook, he's mourning over his son's sin, and he's mourning over his own sin. Let's look in 2 Kings chapter 23, and we could go to a lot more places, but I think this will prove the points that we need to try to make. Judah's got a godly king, a king named Josiah. In 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 4, it said, "And the king commanded Hilkiah the high priest, and the priest of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out," listen, "of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal and for the grove and for all the host of heaven." Here, all this idolatry and all of these false heathen gods, their things of worship had been brought into the very temple of Almighty God. How blasphemous. That's one of the reasons we need to keep house in the house of God today. There were a whole lot of things that had been brought into the temple of God that had no right to be there. And I would to God we never let those things creep into the house of God today. And Josiah said, "These things got to go. They never should have been here, and now they've got to go." And he's putting all these things out of the house of God. And what did they do with all these idolatrous and heathen and pagan idols that they got out of the temple of God? He said he burned them without Jerusalem in the fields of Kidron and carried the ashes of them unto Bethel. And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places and in the cities of Judah and the places round about Jerusalem. Then also that burned incense unto Baal and to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the host of heaven. He brought out the grove, which is another name for a place of idolatrous worship. He brought out the grove from the house of the Lord, where it never should have been, without Jerusalem, unto the brook Kidron. And stamped it, burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it small to powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of his people. What did he do? All the idolatry and the idolatrous practices that the children of Israel, the children of Judah, had brought into the very house of God, all of their sins and all of their worship of things other than Almighty God, they got them out of the temple of God. They went to the brook Kidron. All the idolatry and all of the putting something else first before God, they took it and they burned it and they stamped it to powder and they burned it at the brook Kidron. Do you see the image that's being made in the Old Testament? The sins of David, the sins of his son, the sins of the idolatry of the children of Israel all go into that dark, black, bubbling brook of Kidron. The blood of the sacrifices offered in the temple of God would flow down into this brook, Kidron. Do you know that even in recent history, you can look at articles as recently as 2017 and even more recently, where the sewage, raw sewage from the city of Jerusalem still flows into this dark, black, putrid, dirty, bubbling brook of Kidron. He, not we, is a cup that we could not drink. He shall drink of the brook in the way, this putrid, dark, bubbling brook of Kidron with its filthiness of the sins of the people of God. The Lord Jesus drank of that dark, bubbling brook. He drank of the cup that the Father gave him. It was a cup that was filled full of the equivalent of an eternity in hell multiplied by the entire elect family of God. He drank it all. Can you imagine how shameful it would be if we were required to come before this church today and to openly confess every single evil deed we'd ever done, and even more so, every evil thought we'd ever thought, every evil thing, putrid thing we'd ever looked at. Can you imagine the shame we would feel? As the Lord Jesus Christ drank of that brook in the way, that dark, black, bubbling brook of Kidron that contained all of our sins that we ever have committed or will commit, he endured the cross and he despised the shame of it. And he hollered out on the cross of Calvary, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's the only one that could drink that cup. I couldn't help him. You couldn't help him. We deserve no glory for the work that was done on the cross of Calvary as he drank of that bitter cup. But he fought that battle alone against sin, Satan, hell, and death. He fought that battle alone. He drank that cup alone. And he secured the greatest and most wondrous victory that's ever been secured in the history of the world or ever will be. He shall drink of the brook in the way. There's no doubt mentioned there. He might drink it. No, he came to drink it. He left the throne room of heaven and immortal glory to come down to this low ground of sin and sorrow and to come down to the brook Kidron to drink of that cup. And he drank it. And he secured our eternal redemption in our home in heaven. He washed our sins in his own precious blood. He separated them from us as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. He shall drink of the brook in the way, and therefore shall he, again, not we, he lift up the head. When do our heads hang down? A lot of times my head has hung down in my life when I was ashamed. When I caught doing something I ought not to have been doing, my head hung down. Sometimes my head is hanged down because of the great trials and the tribulations of life that we go through. When the storms of life come against us and beat against us, sometimes in despondency, our head hangs down. There's been a couple of dear women in my life that has lifted my head up. When I was a little boy, and I would be hurt. Maybe it was a bicycle accident, or we tried to be daredevils. And I'd get hurt, and I'd be hurting and crying, and my head would hang down. My mama would put her hand under my chin, and she'd lift up my head. And as a man, when the trials and the tribulations of life would come upon me, and it would seem so great, that I'd wonder, can I keep putting one foot in front of the other? My precious wife would put her hand under my chin and she'd lift up my head. You know, one of the ways that our heads can be lifted up is when the condemnation's gone. I mentioned sometimes our heads hang down when we're ashamed over what we've done. But I'll tell you, because the Lord Jesus Christ drank of that brook in the way, because he drank of the cup of the almighty wrath of God, he's taken away our condemnation. It's gone. That's why in Romans 8, it would say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It's gone. He's taken the condemnation away. Do you know, one sweet day, he's coming again. And all of our heads will be lifted up. And they'll never be cast down again. One sweet day, the book of Luke begins to write about some of the things that are come upon the earth at the end of time. And he says, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. I'll tell you, when things can look the bleakest, we look up and we hear the voice of the archangel. We hear the trump of God and we look up, we lift up our heads, and there's our beloved Savior who's come again, who's coming in the clouds. And the Bible said, every eye shall see him in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. These old sinful bodies that hold us back now and continue to bring upon us condemnation for our actions, it'll all be gone. We'll be made like unto our Lord, our Savior, our Master, and our Redeemer, King Jesus. We'll be perfect with him forever and ever and ever in heaven and immortal glory. We'll meet the Lord in the clouds. And he, in an everlasting way, is going to lift up our heads. We'll never feel condemnation ever again. And we'll bask in his eternal and glorious presence forever and ever. I love the thought of that triumphant entry into heaven. Psalms 24, I'm getting my Psalms mixed up now. But where the divine decree will go up that second time, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, Psalms 24, and the King of glory shall come in. I'll tell you, when King Jesus comes back, our victorious and our triumphant King will go back, and he'll lead us back into heaven and immortal glory. The divine decree will go up. The everlasting doors of heaven will be raised. And King Jesus shall lead us all back there. Our triumphant conquering King. We see King David coming in after a mighty victory. And the women and the men have lined the streets of Jerusalem, hailing the victorious King that's come back into Jerusalem. And I'll tell you, heaven will be anxiously awaiting the captain of our salvation, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the one that drank of that brook in the way. He's a triumphant king. He's coming back into heaven with every single one of the elect of God, every child of God. He paid for them with his precious blood, and not one's going to be left behind. We'll be with him. We didn't drink of the cup. He did. We didn't fight the battle. He did. But we're more than conquerors through him. We'll be blessed to be in that great victory march in heaven over a battle we didn't fight. But we get the spoils of the war that he won. We'll make that divine entry into heaven following our Lord, our Savior, that's done so much for us. King Jesus will be there and say, "Behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. I brought everyone. I paid for everyone. I drank the cup of the brook of Kidron that all their sins deserved. And now they come into heaven in immortal glory, righteous and holy, body, soul, and spirit. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head." Even so, come, Lord Jesus. God bless you, my prayer.